Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. Well, it's always wonderful to be here, isn't it? And it's wonderful to know we have all of you listening online, and we know that a lot of people will be listening to this recording later, so God bless all of you. We're happy to have you with us. If you're not physically here with us, we know you're here with us in spirit, and we appreciate each and every one of you so very much. We're going to begin with a prayer first and foremost. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, and for thy grace, and for the privilege of being here with thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we can have this communion with thee, that we can have this time of fellowship with thee, that we can have this time of rejoicing with thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would inspire us this day to draw nigh to thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to do thy will, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would reveal thy perfect plan to us, thy perfect will to us. Help us to be obedient to the prompting of thy spirit, and we pray that thou would lead us each and every step of the way here tonight. Let each and everything we do be pleasing in thy sight, we pray. We ask, O God, for thy blessing to be here, for thy anointing to be here. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. You know, people, they talk a lot about how they enjoy fellowship, and fellowship is great. It's wonderful to have fellowship with other believers, other Christians. But you know what's even more wonderful? Having fellowship with the Lord. And we can do that right now. Praise God. We're going to start with our chorus books, number 115, I Will Enter His Gates, number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise God. And we're going to turn now to number 169 and sing, "I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever." 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise your name, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. And we're going to turn now to number 72 and sing, "For He is Lord." Number 72. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord, He is Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 131 and sing What a Day That Will Be, number 131. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you. Yes, yes, what a day that will be. We're going to turn now to our Melodies of Praise hymnals. And we're going to sing number 93 in our hymnal. Oh, I Want to See Him, number 93. I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Yes, I'll pass home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's sin may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Let us sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, the moment last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Let us sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Let us sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number... Well, let me just make sure this is right before I announce it. Number 173 in the hymnal, When We All Get to Heaven, 173. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all underneath. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout to victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Praise God. Thank you. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 222 and sing In the City where the Lamb is the Light. Number 222. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. 'Tis the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. In the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever and the day shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes would meet with bitter plight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when freedom comes, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let's sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul abide, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where they're coming tonight. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where they're coming tonight. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's going to be the greatest day of your life. And the best thing about it is it's a day that never ends. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has given her tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have a wonderful hope within our beings, don't we? Praise our God. Amen. It's really good to be here tonight, be able to sing and praise the Lord, to worship. Another opportunity that the Lord has given us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to begin tonight with prayer. So thankful again that we can gather here. It is a privilege and just a joy to worship the Lord. So thankful. But you know, as we've been singing these songs, can't help but think of how it's going to be when we're all together in that place where there is no night, where the Lamb is the light, as we've been singing. And you know, the throng, the multitude of God's people, all of us together, forever home with the Lord. And you know, the worship and the praise, how wonderful it is going to be. That's reality. That's our hope. That's deep within. And one of these days, it's going to be so. It's going to be, you know, forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God, we come to you tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this privilege, this honor, the hope that we have within us, oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we know, God, that, oh, Lord, you've made a way for us. You made a way that we don't have to, oh, Lord, be doomed. Oh, Lord, we don't have to live in condemnation, Lord. Oh, God, you've made a way that we could come to you, Lord, and be saved and know thee as our King, know thee as our Lord, know thee as our Savior, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you'd work in us. Oh, God, that you'd make us what we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. I just pray, oh Lord, that this message would have the impact that you would want it to have, Lord. It is thy word, and oh God, we give it to you, Lord. We ask that you would use it, that you would work, oh God, oh Lord, that you would take my stumbling tongue and, oh God, make sense of this, Lord. Oh God, use this for thy kingdom, for thy glory, for thy name's sake, Lord Jesus. I pray that you talk to us. Oh, Lord, that we would be prepared, that we'd get ready for that great day of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help your people, Lord. You know the needs everywhere, Lord. Lord. Oh, God, you know the dire straits. You know the trouble. You know the trials. You know the afflictions, oh, God. And I pray that you'd be here to deliver, Lord, to save, oh, Lord. Oh, to strengthen tonight, oh, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd help your people, Lord. Oh, God, ask that you would help your people, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray particularly for Penny, Lord. I know she asked for prayer. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would strengthen her, Lord. Oh, God, that you deliver her, oh, Lord, and get her through, oh, Lord, these trials of life, all these agitations, oh, God. Oh, Lord, the conflicts, Lord. I pray that you give her deep peace, Lord. And, oh, Lord Jesus, that overcoming strength, Lord, that only comes from you, Lord. And, oh, God, you know all the trials of your people, Lord. You know the needs, even before we ask. I pray that you'd work here tonight. I pray that there would be faith. I pray that there would be inspiration, Lord. I pray that there would be hope, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you give us greater strength to carry on and to move all through the trials of this world, Lord, to overcome. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray in your precious holy name, strengthen your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Use this message. Oh, God, I can do nothing without you. I pray that you'd help me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Last week, we began a study, and I called it The Doctrine of Water Baptism. And praise the Lord, I didn't really get through that. And I'd just like to continue that here tonight. I feel like the doctrines in the Scripture are extremely attacked in this present time that we live in. And I know there is a great need. I know Jude felt it. And we read this portion of Scripture last week, but oh, how true it is. And if Jude could feel the need to write to those that he was addressing of the common salvation, and that exhortation that we should surely, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, how much more today, when everything has fallen in so many ways, truth has been attacked, and God's word has been rewritten in many ways and forms, and misunderstood and misinterpreted and misrepresented. But praise the Lord, I'm thankful we have it here tonight. It's a great gift that we have it given. And with all our hearts, I know we want to love the truth. We want to hold to the truth. You know, it's the love of the truth that is going to take us through this world. And, you know, I'm thinking of that portion of Scripture there in 2 Thessalonians. And just to read it quickly, there, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, praise the Lord. Let's just begin with verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And I would like to explain that I believe what is meant here, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The writer, who is Paul, is talking about the mystery of iniquity. And you know, this is a force that is in this world. Iniquity abounds. Iniquity has been a reality in this world since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And here we're told in the Scripture that spirit, that mystery, as it's called in this verse, will continue until the wicked would be exposed, consumed, and destroyed. As I'm continuing this portion of Scripture, it's going to be a reality in this world. And verse 8 goes on, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Oh my, we've had the wonderful joy of singing about that city where the Lamb is light, and all the wonderful things that we have to look forward to as the children of the Lord. And praise the Lord, here we are told in this scripture that, oh yes, of that moment when, oh yes, this wicked spirit, this mystery of iniquity is going to be revealed and consumed by God Almighty. Praise the Lord. And, oh yes, its utter end. All the works of the enemy, all the works of the devil will be destroyed with the brightness of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, of course, verse 9 makes us aware that his coming is after the working of Satan. Speaking of that spirit of iniquity, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And again, I think we should consider this, because it tells us this time prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus, his return is a very deceptive time. Because, oh my, we're talking about the spirit of the beast, of the Antichrist, which I believe is in the world right now. It's a spirit of signs and lying wonders. And it has a power to it. It has an attraction to it. It will cause and has caused many to follow after that spirit of deception. Verse 10 explains, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Is the truth important? I would say it's very important. And not only the truth, but the love of the truth. Holding it very dear, holding it very close, not being persuaded by some other form or version, some other doctrine, oh, some other power, all these deceptive spirits that are in the world, all these religions of deceit that are in the world right now, these Bibles that misrepresent the Word of God, and of course all these religions. Oh, the scripture speaks clearly and plainly in these verses here. Strong delusion for those that have not the love of the truth. Oh, we better hold to it. We better love it. Oh my, we better treasure it. Because, oh yes, otherwise we are warned in this scripture here that there would be a strong delusion for those that have not this love of the truth, and they are given over to a lie. And yes, as verse 12 says again, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How we need to buy the truth and sell it not. Very much esteeming it, very much loving it, holding it very dear, treasuring it. Oh, I thank God and praise the Lord, because, oh my, we have opportunity to look into God's Word and to seek it out, oh yes, and to apply it, and how we need to do that. Praise the Lord, we need to not only read the Word of God, but we need very much to apply it. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Last week I did read from Hebrews 6, and I just want to read these two verses again, because they lay the groundwork here for the doctrine of baptisms. It says here in chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." Of course, you know, the writer of Hebrews, which we believe to be Paul, is urging that they could go beyond these principles. But if those principles are not the foundation of one's faith, then everything is not on the rock Christ Jesus. So yes, here it's describing, it's outlining the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and again, namely the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, and we see that that word is plural. There's a doctrine of water baptism, and there's a doctrine of the Spirit. And then the doctrine of laying on of hands, and the doctrine of resurrection of the dead, and the one of eternal judgment. All these are foundational. These are part of the principles. These are the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So praise the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, we are going to continue to talk about the doctrine of water baptism specifically here tonight. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We did discuss last week that there are types and shadows in the Old Testament, and I did not go into that in great depth, but I would like to consider another aspect that I did not cover last week here for the moment. If we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here it says, in the first verse in this chapter, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Here we do have emphasis on the fact that they were all, every one of them were all included in these descriptions here. And it tells us in the second verse that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And I just want to dwell on this for a few moments here. We know that they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And this is how they made it through the wilderness. God was leading them by using the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And of course, it also talks about the sea there, that event that happened when they crossed the Red Sea. And yes, they were all participants, but it was a type of baptism. Yes, as they were participating in this amazing event. And just considering how it was there back in the book of Exodus when it talks about that miraculous time there when the children of Israel had left Egypt. And now it got into that place where the Red Sea was before them. And my, it was such a moment because they were like trapped. But praise the Lord opened up the Red Sea so that they could get over the sea, that they could walk on dry ground. He made a highway out of the sea. And it was an amazing, wonderful event. It was exciting. Oh, it must have been just, you know, I'm beyond words to see the Lord open up the sea like that and make it a highway so they could all, every single one of them, that great multitude of people, cross the Red Sea. Praise the Lord. But it's symbolic. And I'd just like to just bring out that symbolism at the moment. They're leaving Egypt. Represents them leaving the world that they knew, the world of sin, behind. It represented leaving their past, the traditions that they were acquainted with. And that, to us, represents repentance. Because repentance, when it's genuine, when it's from the heart, is a life that is leaving the old life behind and turning to God and, you know, putting it all behind. And that's what God intended for the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, He intended that they would leave that past behind. Oh, there were all kinds of traditions and ways back in Egypt, and we find out as we read the book of Exodus and the other books of Moses that some of those traditions and ways of the Egyptians had caught on, because it didn't take the children of Israel too long to follow back into their old ways or fall back into their old ways. But we can think of repentance as that act of the multitude leaving Egypt, the old ways, the way of sin behind. And then when they were able to cross the Red Sea, we can say that it represents baptism. Because as they crossed that Red Sea, not only did all the children of Israel cross it and make it through and get to the other side, but those that were behind, the enemy that was behind, the Egyptians who had came to follow them, who had pursued after them, were all drowned in that Red Sea. So crossing the Red Sea represents baptism. The enemy at that point was cut off after they crossed over. The enemy that pursued them was no longer behind them. So we can say that that represents baptism. Because when we're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, the enemy is cut off. Our past is cut off. Those sins are remitted in the waters of baptism. And of course, the work of the Holy Ghost could be represented by their entrance into Canaan. Only many of them did not make it into Canaan, and that's a study in itself. But God was intending that they would have rest after they got into Canaan land. And after their enemies were cut off, they had the assignment to come against those that lived in that land so they would not be snares, so they would not be hindrances, so they would not follow after their ways. And then after the enemy was eradicated, they were to have rest from all of that. Of course, it didn't quite work like that exactly, because of sin and the sinful nature and not completing what God had given them as an assignment. We could read of that in Hebrews 3 and 4. But praise the Lord, all of this is representative of our salvation, of the wonderful plan of God. And yes, as it says in verse 2 here in 1 Corinthians 10, all of the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that represented baptism, which would follow later, of course. But there are many different types and shadows in the Old Testament. And, of course, we're not going to cover all that kind of ground here tonight. But one more place I would like to go here quickly And that is 2 Kings, the 5th chapter here. We've been here before, and I believe this is a very familiar story, so I don't intend to linger long. But this 5th chapter of 2 Kings is the story of Naaman, who was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. And, you know, as we're told, he was a great man with his master, and he was honorable, and he'd been used to give great deliverance unto Syria, but there was a problem because he was a leper. And I believe we are familiar with this story, but we know that there was a little maid that spoke to his wife and expressed the hope that Naaman could be healed, that he could see the prophet that is the Samaria, the prophet of the Lord, for surely that prophet would recover him of his leprosy. And of course, anything was worth, you know, that hope of recovery. And so, yes, Naaman did travel into Samaria to see the king, as he supposed the king would, you know, have that kind of impact to help him. Of course, the king of Samaria was not living for God. He didn't know the power of God, and oh my, he didn't understand at all what was going on when he read the letter that was sent to him of Naaman's request. But praise the Lord, there was a prophet of God in Samaria. That prophet was Elisha, and he heard of all of this. And praise the Lord, he made it known that, oh yes, this man, Naaman, could be sent to him. Oh yes, that yes, there was a God who could help Naaman the leper. And praise the Lord, we know how it was. Naaman made his way to the house of Elisha. He came with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And of course, he was expecting Elisha to come out and, oh, say, "Be thou healed," you know, maybe touch him and, you know, he'd be healed. He'd be cleansed of his leprosy. But that's not how God had Elisha work. Oh, no, Elisha sent a messenger unto Naaman, and he gave him an assignment. He told him to go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And if he would, his flesh would come unto him clean. You know, it would be clean. He would be healed of that leprosy. Well, I'll tell you what. We know that Naaman didn't exactly like this assignment. And the scripture tells us that he was wroth. He was very angry. And, you know, he didn't want to consider what Elisha the prophet had told him to do. It states in verse 11 that Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And then, of course, considering the river Jordan, known to be very muddy and not very clean. Oh, he went on to say, "Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Well, thankfully, he had some servants that overheard all of this, and they spoke sense to Naaman. They said in verse 13, they came near and spake unto him, it tells us, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean?" And praise the Lord, Naaman got it at that point. And oh yes, that anger, that wrath that had risen him obviously diminished, and he began to consider what he had been told to do. Praise the Lord, he went on to do it. He tells us in verse 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Oh, praise the Lord. How beautiful it is. Praise the Lord. All he had to do was dip in the Jordan River those 7 times. And yes, he was told his flesh would come again unto the flesh of a little child. And praise the Lord, that is exactly how it happened when he obeyed, when he did what he was told. Yes, he did dip into that river 7 times. And he came out clean, fully restored, skin as clean, and pure as beautiful as that of a little child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But this is one of the other places where baptism can be represented. It can be a foreshadowing of the work of baptism in the name of Jesus in the time of the new covenant. And praise the Lord, it's amazing how, you know, his servants said to him the simple words that were necessary to wash and be cleaned. And praise the Lord, I think how Paul, when he was giving his testimony there in Acts, the 22nd chapter, oh yes, when Ananias came to him after he had met the Lord Jesus on that road to Damascus, that wonderful vision that God gave him. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, everything changed in his life. But there in Acts 22, verse 16, when Ananias was directing him, he said in verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And praise the Lord, I see steps here, steps of faith, steps in baptism. Oh yes, the great need to arise and be baptized. And we know that baptism isn't just a thing to do. It could be nice, and oh, you know, it's a good thing to do, as you know, a lot of churches teach. No, it is a command in the Word of God. It is a command. Oh yes, Peter told Cornelius in his household in Acts 10th chapter, after they received the Holy Ghost, after that message was interrupted as the Spirit of the Lord Jesus fell on Cornelius and all his household, all those that were gathered there together. Peter instructed them, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, and yes, they did. But it is a command. And here we see it in Acts, the 22nd chapter, that need, that Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, his need when he first met the Lord, to arise and be baptized. And yes, wash away thy sins. Oh yes, wonderful things happen in the waters of baptism. And yes, he stated, calling on the name of the Lord, that power that is in the saving name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, Saul of Tarsus obeyed that command. Oh yes, he did arise, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, God honored it. Oh yes, his sins were washed away by that wonderful work of obedience. Praise the Lord. Oh, it is very imperative, very important to obey the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to turn to some places here in the New Testament now. And to begin, let's go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter here. Let's look at the 11th verse here as Paul is writing this epistle to those that were at Ephesus here. Verse 11 tells us, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 tells us, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I think this is an important detail here. Yes, because that name, Lord Jesus Christ, identifies the children of the Lord. It identifies the whole family in heaven and earth. Oh, yes, all that have come to the Lord in obedience and embraced his word have been baptized into Christ by the waters of baptism. Let's turn over to Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians chapter 2 here. And let's begin with verse 11 in this chapter. Colossians 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Praise the Lord. And I believe that's describing the act of repentance. Oh yes, when we put off the body of the sins of the flesh through repentance, turning our lives over to the Lord Jesus. And then it goes on to say in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, I'll tell you what, the wonderful works of God. But oh yes, here it's describing baptism as a burial. And it says, not only are we buried with him in baptism, but also when we come up out of the water, ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. The spiritual work of God, as we obey this command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. And yes, verse 13 describes, and you being dead in your sins, we die out to the old man, to the flesh, all the sins that were once a part of our reality and the uncircumcision of our flesh. Figuratively here, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, praise the Lord, that word quickened. Oh, to be made alive. Praise the Lord, we were dead. Before we knew the Lord, it was as if we were the living dead that walked and breathed on this earth, but yet we didn't know Jesus. We didn't have the reality of salvation. We were living in condemnation. And so that is described as being dead in our sins, living in our sins and not knowing the wonderful, glorious hope of the gospel. But praise the Lord, when we came to know the Lord Jesus, we were made alive. We were quickened together with him as we identified with him, as we were buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. And praise the Lord, we know it's for the remission of sins. As Peter very clearly stated on the day of Pentecost, oh yes, when they were pricked in their heart, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter responded by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, it was made clear there on the day of Pentecost. But praise the Lord, as those sins are remitted in the waters of baptism, yes, the trespasses, all those things that were opposing us, that were against us, that were condemning us, were forgiven. The wonderful acts of God, the wonderful mercy of God is, oh yes, He made salvation a reality in our lives. Praise our God. Of course, Romans, the 6th chapter, bears out this same thought, if we could turn there. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6. Praise the Lord. It begins by saying in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Praise the Lord. You know, oh my, there are some that just, you know, seem to think that sin is just, you know, spontaneous and something, oh my, that, you know, you continue to do. And yes, I admit there are times and, you know, when people, all of us, have slipped up and need to, again, you know, come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us. But praise the Lord, we don't want to live in the state of sin. It should be clearly behind us when we turn our lives over to the Lord in repentance. Praise the Lord. And yes, He's going to give us power to overcome. The Holy Ghost baptism is also, yes, one of the ways that, oh yes, He gives us an overcoming strength to live against sin and to prevail against it. Oh yes, to walk with the Lord Jesus in His holiness and in His righteousness by the grace of God. But oh yes, some may think that, you know, in order for the grace of God, because He had stated in the chapter before, chapter 5 of Romans, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But yet, oh my, it is the wonderful grace of God that has forgiven us. Oh yes. But we would never want to continue to live in that state of sin just so that His grace may be abundant and overflowing in forgiveness. No, that shouldn't be a concept or a way of thinking to who is those that are born again. Praise the Lord. So He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3 tells us, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. So yes, as we also read in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, here it's telling us here also in the 3rd verse of Romans 6 that yes, if we are baptized into Jesus Christ, and how could we be baptized into Jesus Christ if we didn't take His name upon us? But it is telling us here that we were baptized into His death. And verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. The old things behind, everything becoming new, just like the children of Israel. Yes, they left Egypt, which represents sin, and God took them to the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea, and that was the cutoff point. The enemy was cut off there in the Red Sea. For yes, those Egyptians who tried to cross over were drowned in that Red Sea. They were no longer there to hound them, to run after them, oh yes, to worry them. And so it is with baptism. Praise the Lord. We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. And verse 5 tells us, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So is baptism essential? Is it necessary? Oh, I believe this verse 5 indicates that it is, because we've got to be, there's got to be the likeness of his death as part of the plan of salvation, in order for there to be the likeness of his resurrection. What would it be if Jesus Christ just died but stayed in the grave? Our hope would not be here. We would not have the wonderful eternal life that is so freely offered to us because he rose again. Oh, yes, so we don't want to just do part of the plan of God. We just, we want the fullness. We not only want to be likened unto his death and then his burial, but we want to be likened unto the resurrection also. Praise the Lord. And of course, oh yes, that new life that he gives his people. And praise the Lord. Death represents repentance. And burial represents baptism. The resurrection, all that new life in Christ. And oh yes, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, that power to overcome, that power to be like the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Verse 6 tells us here in Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Oh, we die out to the old man, and praise the Lord, through the waters of baptism, our past are also buried with the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, he takes that past, and oh yes, he forgets it. He buries it in his sea of forgetfulness. It's the wonderful works of God, and how thankful we are. Oh, that God made a way that our old man, oh, that old way of life could be crucified with him as we die out to sin, so that body of sin would be destroyed, that we would no longer serve sin. Praise the Lord. So it tells us, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Oh, praise the Lord, that all passed in the wonderful works of God. Thank the Lord. And oh yes, this chapter continues to tell us the necessity of yielding our lives over to the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, so that death will have no dominion over us. And all that sin would not reign in our mortal bodies, as it tells us in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful ways of the Lord. He made provisions for us that we would not have to live in sin. Sin condemned us. Sin restricted us from a living God. Oh, sin in our life, we could not stand before the Lord and be judged righteous. It takes the work of God to make us righteous in his sight. Praise the Lord, and thank God he made a way that we would no longer yield our members unto sin, but rather yielding ourselves unto God. That means to give our lives over to the Lord. Oh yes, to turn everything over to him and not let sin, be an instrument in our lives. Praise the Lord, God made a way. And thank God for his wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God, for he has made provisions for us and made a way that we could be accepted in his sight. Praise the Lord. If we turn to Galatians, the third chapter, this epistle too shows us the work of baptism. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3. And if we look at verse 27, it tells us, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." And this is wonderful scripture here too. Praise the Lord. This chapter tells us, oh yes, that the Lord Jesus has redeemed us from the curses of the law. Praise the Lord. He made himself a curse for us when he offered himself on the cross. Oh yes, it had been written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And Jesus took that curse for us when he offered salvation, when he gave his life a ransom for many, praise the Lord, so that we could become the children of God, so we could be forgiven of our sins and trespasses, praise the Lord. And yes, we could be brought into the family of God. It tells us again in verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What a wonder this is, the spiritual work when we go down into the water in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. It represents us putting on Christ. And yes, there's no, difference between Jew or Greek, between bond or free, between male or female. We all are one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. He has one body, and he calls all people together, whether we be Jews, whether we be Greeks, into that body of Christ. And praise the Lord. Yes, we're told that if we be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And what a wonder this is. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ. But oh my, Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And praise the Lord. Oh yes, that wonderful plan of God brought all of us into the family of God, that we all could become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And what a wonder, what a marvel this is. Oh yes, if we have been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. God having no respect of person. Oh yes, as man usually has, but praise the Lord, our God looks on the heart and not on one's pedigree, one's background. Oh my, he looks for that heart that is contrite. Oh yes, that is repentant. Oh, that is turned over to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turning now to John, the third chapter. Praise the Lord. We have Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. And of course we know that he was a ruler of the Jews, and he had it within him that Jesus was more than an ordinary teacher. He knew that he had to come from God because he was doing miracles that no other could do. And so here he comes. In John, the third chapter, we're told there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus astonished him with what he said next in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And here Jesus explains it even more. Jesus answered, verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, He must be born again. And then verse 8 tells us, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Oh, what a word this was that Jesus was giving Nicodemus. And of course, Nicodemus couldn't really understand it at that moment. But I believe, as time went on, that Nicodemus understood what Jesus was teaching here in this third chapter of John. But praise the Lord, in that fifth verse, Jesus made it very clear that it was necessary for a man, and of course that means a woman too, to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter in to the kingdom of God. Oh my, many people just go halfway. They just think, you know, one part is sufficient. But here, he's talking about a birth of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter in to the kingdom of God. He explained that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. Oh, that great need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter in to the kingdom of God. Just part way isn't sufficient. It isn't good enough. And here Jesus was giving this teaching, all this necessity. And of course, he's describing the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that would come forth on Pentecost there in the 8th verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, on that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, there was. Oh, that sound from heaven, and a mighty rushing wind that came into the house where they were all assembled. Praise the Lord, and oh, yes. There was a demonstration, appearance like unto cloven tongues, like as a fire that sat upon each of them. And praise the Lord, oh yes, that Holy Ghost began to fall. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, it tells us in Acts 2, verse 4, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And praise the Lord, yes, I believe this verse 8 here in John 3 describes that wonderful event where the Holy Ghost fell. Oh, there was a sound thereof. And just as the wind can be heard, so it was there at Pentecost. Oh, that rushing mighty wind that came in. There was a sound that came in to the room, and they couldn't tell from whence it came or where it would go. But praise the Lord, oh, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, that rushing wind came into that room and filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, praise the Lord, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, that new birth that came in to play as they there were assembled together at Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. But, oh, yes, Jesus was telling the need, oh, yes, to be born again there as Nicodemus came to him with that very urgent question. And praise the Lord, yes, it wasn't understood at that moment. But oh yes, it was just down the road a little bit. And praise the Lord, Jesus sent back that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Things were never the same after Pentecost. Oh, we see a Peter that came forth with boldness, with a power that he had never had before. He was no longer denying Jesus Christ as he had done. Oh, yes, when Jesus was there, before Pilate and there before the Jews, particularly before the Jews at that moment. And oh my, we realize how all of this, the new birth, changes us. You can't just go with one single aspect. It's all a process here, repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, just as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ were all essential. Without one, the whole could not have been a reality. And praise the Lord, I know, yes, God desires that for His children, that, oh yes, we would obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. And yes, that promise of being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That wonderful promise. Praise our God. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter here. We talked about how Peter was changed. Oh, when the Holy Ghost came to his life. Tell you these wonderful epistles that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter. Oh, how precious they are, how profound they are. What happens? Oh, the wonder of it. The lives are changed by Almighty God when He comes into our lives and the new birth takes place in our hearts and in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 18 to begin. It says in verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Verse 21 tells us, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him." What a wonder. Praise our God. But here, yes, Peter is using the likeness there of the ark, there to liken those that were saved by water to the act of baptism. And we've got to realize, we know that most everybody who was alive at the time of Noah drowned in the waters, so they perished in the waters of baptism. But thank God for the eight. And it says, wherein few, it wasn't many of them, but praise the Lord, those that were in the ark were saved by water. And so he goes on to compare baptism as a like figure to those that were saved by water in the days of Noah. And it says again in verse 21, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's just consider this here for a moment. Baptism isn't an act of just, outwardly cleaning our person, washing away the dirt off our person. But no, something spiritual happens inside. It's not going to show the physical sense as far as, the skin is clean and all that kind of thing. So often I see it on the faces. So often, I've noticed the countenance that is so changed after going down in the waters of baptism. Oh, you could just see it. Sometimes the stress, all the, weight of one's life, you can see that it's gone. When they come up in the countenance, it's just shining. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, what happens? Oh, the Lord gives us a good conscience toward God as we come up out of the water, those sins being remitted in the waters of baptism. Oh, what a marvel that is. Because you see, of ourselves, we could never be good enough to stand before God and hear Him say, well done. We could never be good enough. We need, the righteousness of our God. We need to be covered with the robe of His righteousness. When we stand before Him, it's going to matter so much. Oh, yes, that we would be clothed with that which the Lord has put upon us, His righteousness. And it tells us in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my Lord, in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. What could be more beautiful than that garment that the Lord puts upon us? That robe of His righteousness. So our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We all are as unclean things in the sight of God. But praise the Lord, He made a way that we could be redeemed, that we could be purified. And oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that, we can identify with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. We can be buried with Him. Oh, yes, those old sins clearly dismissed and, taken from us. Oh, yes, that wonderful act of God as, He gives us a good conscience toward God. Those sins are no longer retained. They are not there. They are not only just forgiven, but they are remitted in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we could have a good conscience toward God. And how important that is going to be when we stand before God. It tells us in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Oh, our love is made perfect through the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord through the obedience to the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He gives us a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Oh, how we are going to need it when we stand before the Lord. Oh, it is going to be so important that we as the Church of the Living God would be arrayed in His righteousness. Oh, it tells us in Revelation, the 19th chapter, praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, praise the Lord, boldness in the day of judgment, a clear conscience toward God, those sins remitted, extinguished, you could say, in the water of baptism, oh, completely gone, wiped out, a clear slate before the Lord Jesus. How important it will be when we stand before God, how necessary it will be when we stand before God. And oh, we know that He takes those sins. Oh, yes, they are buried with Him in that water of baptism. I love how Micah, the prophet of old, said in the 7th chapter of Micah, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord, those sins of our past. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need His mercy, His graciousness, oh, His redemption. Oh, yes. And oh, how God made a way that we could come to Him by faith and embrace His promises, repenting, turning away from the old life. And then, yes, obeying the command to be buried with Him in the waters of baptism, so that we can rise up out of that water in the newness of life. And yes, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a wonderful plan the Lord has for His children, that we could be clothed with His righteousness, so that when we stand before Him, we have His garment, His righteousness upon our person, our soul, and we can stand before Him and have boldness in the day of judgment. What a wonder it is. Well, I'm so thankful that God made provisions for us that we could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and obey His plan, that need to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise our God. Praise the Lord. And as Ananias said to Paul, as I close here tonight, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God, our sins can be washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, obeying that command. Oh, yes. Clothes us with His garment, oh, with His righteousness, and makes us suitable so that we can stand before Him in that day of judgment. Praise the Lord. The wonderful doctrine of water baptism, how wise it is to obey that command. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just pray that You would talk tonight. I pray, O Lord, that You would confirm Your word. O Lord, that You would talk to our hearts. O God, O Lord Jesus, and O God, that obedience, O God, would come forth, Lord, for any who have not yet acknowledge thee in the waters of baptism, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. I pray that you would talk. I pray that you would make us ready, O Lord Jesus, so that we can stand before you. And, oh, have a conscience that's clear and free of any offenses, of any sin. O Lord, I pray that you make us ready. Help us, Lord, to go forth and do thy will and to obey thy voice, to obey thy commands. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, we sang this one last week. Let's sing it again. Number 36 in the chorus book. I love Jesus best of all. Number 36. For he saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For he saves my soul and gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For he saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For he saves my soul from sin, and gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a good night. Praise the Lord.